Well, there have been no shortage of controversies, many controversies at least, as President Donald Trump has been filling out his cabinet for his upcoming second term. I mean, I'm thinking about Matt Gaetz for Attorney General, for example, although that pick has already come and gone, and we may see some more turnover before any of these positions are officially confirmed. But there's one pick that I think is kind of flown under the radar a bit, even though it should be more controversial than it is. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Boehm with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. As I was saying, the pick that I think really should be getting more attention and more scrutiny, and I hope it will get more scrutiny when the confirmation hearings come around in January, is Trump's pick for Labor Secretary. Now, he has tapped Representative Lori Chavez DeRemer of Oregon. She's a Republican from Oregon, although based on her track record, you might have a hard time identifying her as a Republican. Among other things, Representative Chavez DeRemer has teamed up with Vice President Kamala Harris and teachers union bosses, to push a proposal that would effectively override some state-level reforms that have limited the power of public sector unions. Reforms that Republicans have passed in big states like Wisconsin and Florida in recent years. And Representative Lori Chavez DeRemer has been against that, has been trying to overturn those reforms with federal action. Now, those federal proposals, of course, aren't going to go anywhere in a Republican Congress, but it's telling that Representative Chavez DeRemer has endorsed those efforts, has signed on to those bills, has co-sponsored those bills. When Trump made that selection last month, he said that Representative Chavez DeRemer's strong support from both the business and labor communities will ensure that the Labor Department can unite Americans of all backgrounds. But she's been getting a lot more support from the labor side of that equation than from the business one, as far as I can see. For example, the AFL-CIO released a statement not long after Trump tapped Representative Chavez DeRemer, basically praising the selection, saying that she has built a pro-labor record in Congress, including as one of only three Republicans to co-sponsor the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, the PRO Act, and being one of eight Republicans to co-sponsor the Public Service Freedom to Negotiate Act. Now, those two bills should be disqualifying for any Republican who might lead the Department of Labor. She's also received a warm reception from Teamsters President Sean O'Brien and from Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, who tweeted approvingly of Chavez DeRemer's consideration for the job even before Trump had officially picked her. And I think we should take a closer look at those two bills that the AFL-CIO singled out in their praise of the representative as they were praising her pick to lead the Labor Department. One of those is the PRO Act, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. This is basically just a grab bag of a bunch of big labor agenda items. It would extend some of California's really awful independent contractor regulations nationwide. It would abolish so-called right-to-work laws in the 27 states where they exist, and it would expand the powers of the National Labor Relations Board, among a bunch of other things. Abolishing right-to-work laws is really the biggest problem, I think, of that bunch, even though nothing in the PRO Act is all that exciting or favorable, but a federal policy that would stomp all over state-level policy is, you know, not just an affront to conservatism, but an affront to federalism as well. Now, she's also one of a handful of Republicans who has co-sponsored the Public Service Freedom to Negotiate Act, and that is, again, best described as a federal power grab that will allow public sector labor unions like Randy Weingarten's American Federation of Teachers to force their will on states that have limited the power of those unions. Dominic Pino, a friend of mine who writes at National Review, described the bill as effectively rewriting labor relations law in roughly half of the states, many of them Republican governed, which currently either prohibit collective bargaining by public employees or don't explicitly authorize it. Now, Trump's rise to political power has been helped, of course, by a shift in voting patterns among union workers, who are no longer the solidly Democratic cohort that they once were. And that shift, combined with Trump's willingness to make some unorthodox staffing decisions, likely explains how Representative Chavez DeRemer ended up on the transition team's shortlist. But even so, choosing her signals that Trump believes it's more important to signal support for labor unions than to actually stand up for American workers. Those right-to-work laws that Representative Chavez de Rima would like to use federal power to overturn, well, they merely ensure that workers cannot be coerced into joining unions that they don't want to have anything to do with, or funding those unions by having dues taken directly out of their paychecks. In a letter to Trump that urged him to drop Chavez de Rima as labor secretary, National Right to Work Committee President Mark Mix said that representing workers does not mean to copy the views of labor bosses. He went on to say that the next Trump administration should seek to expand choice for workers so that every American can freely choose whether or not a union deserves their financial support. Representative Chavez de Rima won't have a chance to vote for any of these pro-union bills in next year's Congress. Again, not that they would pass anyway, because she lost re-election back in November. There's no political future for her at the moment, and there's no reason for Trump to throw her a political lifeline either. I think this is a choice that's going to get a lot of scrutiny, and it should get a lot of scrutiny when we get around to the confirmation hearings in January, because the more that you look at Representative Chavez de Rima's record, the more you have to wonder whether she has any business serving in a Republican administration. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. You can check out more of our coverage of the transition of Trump's cabinet picks, of everything else going on in politics here as we wind down the crazy year of 2024 and gear up for what will surely be another crazy year in 2025. Find all of that, of course, at Reason.com. And catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.